The morning I spotted Tony Gardner sitting among the tourists. Spring was just arriving here in Venice. We'd completed our first full week outside in the piazza. A relief, let me tell you, after all those stuffy hours performing from the back of the café, getting in the way of customers wanting to use the staircase. There was quite a breeze that morning, and our brand-new marquee was flapping all around us, but we were all feeling a little bit brighter and fresher, and I guess it showed in our music. But here I am, talking like I'm a regular band member. Actually, I'm one of the gypsies, as the other musicians call us. One of the guys who move around the piazza, helping out whichever of the three café orchestras needs us. Mostly I play here at the Café Lavena. But on a busy afternoon I might do a set with the Quadri boys, go over to the Florian, then back across the square to the Lavena. I get on fine with them all, and with the waiters, too. And in any other city I'd have a regular position by now. But in this place, so obsessed with tradition and the past, everything's upside down. Anywhere else, being a guitar player would go in a guy's favor. But here, a guitar. The café managers get uneasy. It looks too modern. The tourists won't like it. Last autumn I got myself a vintage jazz model with an oval sound hole, the kind of thing Django Reinhardt might have played, so there was no way anyone would mistake me for a rock and roller. That made things a little easier, but the café managers, they still don't like it. The truth is, if you're a guitarist, you can be Joe Pass. They still wouldn't give you a regular job in this square. There's also, of course, the small matter of my not being Italian, never mind Venetian. It's the same for that big Czech guy with the alto sax. We're well-liked, we're needed by the other musicians, but we don't quite fit the official bill. Just play and keep your mouth shut. That's what the café managers always say. That way the tourists won't know you're not Italian. Wear your suit, sunglasses, keep the hair combed back. No one will know the difference. Just don't start talking. But I don't do too bad. All three café orchestras, especially when they have to play at the same time from their rival tents, they need a guitar, something soft, solid but amplified, thumping out the chords from the back. I guess you're thinking three bands playing at the same time in the same square. That would sound like a real mess. But the Piazza San Marco's big enough to take it. A tourist strolling across the square will hear one tune fade out, another fade in, like it's shifting the dial on a radio. What tourists can't take too much of is the classical stuff, all these instrumental versions of famous arias. Okay, this is San Marco. They don't want the latest pop hits. But every few minutes they want something they recognize. Maybe an old Julie Andrews number or the theme from a famous movie. I remember once last summer going from band to band and playing The Godfather 9 times in one afternoon. Anyway, there we were that spring morning playing in front of a good crowd of tourists. When I saw Tony Gardner sitting alone with his coffee almost directly in front of us, maybe 6 meters back from our marquee. We get famous people in the square all the time. We never make a fuss. At the end of a number, maybe a quiet word will go around the band members. Look, there's Warren Beatty. Look, it's Kissinger. That woman, she's the one who was in the movie about the men who swap their faces. We're used to it. This is the Piazza San Marco, after all. But when I realized it was Tony Gardner sitting there, that was different. I did get excited. Tony Gardner had been my mother's favorite. Back home, back in the communist days, it had been really hard to get records like that, but my mother had pretty much his whole collection. Once, when I was a boy, I scratched one of those precious records. The apartment was so cramped, and a boy my age, you just had to move around sometimes, especially during those cold months when you couldn't go outside. So I was playing this game, jumping from our little sofa to the armchair. And one time I misjudged it and hit the record player. The needle went across the record with a zip. This was long before CDs. And my mother came in from the kitchen and began shouting at me. I felt so bad, not just because she was shouting at me, but because I knew it was one of Tony Gardner's records, and I knew how much it meant to her. And I knew that this one, too, would now have those popping noises going through it while he crooned those American songs. Years later, when I was working in Warsaw, and I got to know about black market records, I gave my mother replacements of all her worn-out Tony Gardner albums, including that one I scratched. It took me over 3 years, but I kept getting them one by one, and each time I went back to see her, I'd bring her another. So you see why I got so excited when I recognized him barely 6 meters away. At first I couldn't quite believe it, and I might have been a beat late with the chord change. Tony Gardner! What would my dear mother have said if she'd known? For her sake, for the sake of her memory, I had to go and say something to him, never mind if the other musicians laughed and said I was acting like a bellboy.